This is Taro from Taro3.com. Today is Black Star Thursday. And you have to pardon me. I've got some creeping something in my throat that is giving me a problem, but I'm going to make it. You're going to get a every now and then. Revolution Radio is listener-supported. And from the notes that I've been sent, support is down. And that's the way that the summer ends a lot of times, being here since 2011. I've seen that before with my project Black Star Research. If you have the resources, please support the radio station. Help us get the word out. Appreciate that very, very much. You can subscribe to my newsletters. And I'm going to come out with a video this week helping people so you know what's in the newsletters, what you get from a subscription. I got a kind of I was lectured a little bit on, we just don't know enough to want to subscribe. You need to give us more information. And looking at the situation, that's probably true. So I'm going to try to get that out. My YouTube channel is Taro Black Star. Just Google it and subscribe. Still hovering around 4,600. I know it's kind of sorry, isn't it? Subscribers to my YouTube channel. And that's where every Thursday I come out with a Black Star Up There Report 15-minute video. And I'm going to show you the newsletters, and I was providing free links through the summer to try to drum up some new support for the research. It went all right, I reckon. So enough about all that stuff. There's a lot of information that I'm going to try to share with you today. There's really not a lot going on at this moment. Right now I'm looking. Let me post the newsletter link again. See, right here at Revolution Radio, which is like my home base, then this is where you can get all of the newsletters for free. You just simply come to the chat room, log in, and I'm going to be posting it throughout the show. Volume number 41 is what you should be looking at right now. And when you first look at the 2014-2015 abbreviated seismic chart, it's getting longer and longer as the year grows longer. Then my job for this year has been to help identify and share with you the patterns that are showing up there. And recently, there has been, for the last year, there's been places where we have perfect symmetry last year, just like this year, and other places where we have wide differences. And I'm scratching my head going, what the heck is going on? There's something that is causing these earthquakes at particular times whenever I'm not expecting them, and then it is shaking things loose so I'm not getting anticipated events. What's going on here? And the answer appears to be the moon, of all things. There's a video that I made explaining the recent 8.3 Chile quake, and that was from September the 16th, if memory is serving me. And I went and looked at the orbit diagram, and the moon was directly in exactly the right place in the Virgo constellation as my black star. So then I'm starting to put two and two together and wondering if the black star is close enough, because I really believe the black star is closer to crossing Earth orbit path than people are even beginning to understand, from Marshall Masters to, the what I call pretender 9/11 movement people that have been doing this for years or decades even, and to them, the black star, their Nibiru, their Planet X is way out there somewhere. But there's plenty of evidence suggesting, saying very loudly, as a matter of fact, that there's a nemesis in the inner solar system, and it's very close. So the new pattern that's going to emerge is going to come from near proximity, black star near proximity, and the moon. Because not that the moon is very big, but the moon is very close to our planet. And as the moon passed between the Earth and where the exact position of the black star was in the Virgo constellation, that's when we had this last big 8.3 Chile quake. Then I went back in time. And this is all explained in this newsletter. This is the longest report sent in the last 5 years, actually, because it appears that my investigation is taking a new turn, a new twist. It's been trying to develop, and like with anything else, you You mess around with it, play with it, and eventually you're going to figure more things out. And the moon definitely, definitely is doing something. So before, if you remember, on April the 25th, and I realize I'm jumping ahead for those that don't even know what a black star is. I'll get to that for the new folks. Then the predicted near side alignment event, that means the Earth is on the near side of the sun relative to the black star in the Virgo constellation. That came right around May 1st. That was a prediction date, and we had our event on April the 25th. It's a little bit early. And also, that's the same time that Kilauea magma levels crested, which we should expect that because that is the point where Earth is nearest to the black stars. We're swinging around the sun. So the magnetic portal connection, if you don't know what a magnetic portal connection is, you can Google it, or you can go to my website, tarotlow3.com, click on the link under the Project Black Star section, and get a little bit of education. There's NASA links there and things. But basically, we're talking about an umbilical cord that extends from a star to its planets. That's the source of electromagnetism that produces the magnetosphere. So as the solar output during solar maximum is at its peak, Earth's magnetosphere reaches its peak, and it goes up and down and up and down with the solar cycle. Right, and in those terms, we're talking about solar cycle 24 that we're in right now. So we were at the near side alignment, April 25th. We came by, we crossed black star orbit path on May the 20th. We do that every single year. The black star orbit path doesn't change. The near side alignments do change because the black star is moving left in the orbit diagram, so it takes longer for our planet to come around the sun and come into alignment. So we've been tracking earthquakes since Fukushima was my first prediction, was only 4 days off. And then the next year, that was the previous year, we know from after the timeline was growing over the years, we went backwards and found out that the 8.8 Chile quake from February 27, 2010 was also an alignment event. And then moving forward to Guerrero, that prediction was off by just 2 days. What we're doing is we're watching these near side alignment quake events that are accompanied by X-class flares from magnetic portal connection convergence, crossing, and divergence. These events are happening later and later in the year until they match the May 20th crossing date. Whenever the near side alignment events match the crossing date, the black star is going to be here. There is insufficient room or space in the orbit diagram for this to go beyond 2017. There's just not enough room. So if we have another near side alignment event, say in the beginning, first or second week of May 2016, that means that the black star is moving with a constant velocity, which is, well, physically impossible unless the object is a black hole type object, unless it's behaving more like a black hole than a celestial planet, a main sequence star or dwarf star or anything similar, because the laws of physics say that every object moving around the sun is either increasing in velocity towards perihelion when it's nearest the sun, or it is decreasing in velocity as it's moving towards aphelion, which is the furthest distance from the sun going minimum velocity. That applies to everything. There's no such thing as a constant velocity for Jupiter, for Saturn, Earth, Mars, asteroids, comets, anything that orbits the sun following the regular rules of physics. They increase in velocity and decrease, same way the moon does with the Earth. However, we're dealing with an object that is creeping along like an amoeba, apparently. That's what the alignment data is telling us. And my projection for May 20th, 2016 includes a speed up. It includes a rapid move to perihelion, which is, you know, like everything else that's moving around the sun. And that just may be false. It's possible. And it was last week or the week before, I related information from, this is an This is an ancient, well, I say ancient, he's like 80 or 90 years old, astrophysicist, astronomer type. And according to him, his planet X, his Nibiru, has only three velocities, which kind of boggles the mind. Doesn't even make sense. But I'm listening to that guy more and more because there is something going on here. We're dealing with an anomalous object. This appears to be the collapsed invisible binary twin to our sun. It's the same black star that came to the inner solar system in the days of Noah to create those earth changes, and in the days of Moses to create those earth changes. And it's the same black star that produces the earth changes, the wars, the rumors of wars, the signs in the heavens and stuff that you see from Matthew 24 and Revelation, where it says that Jesus Christ quotes Joel 2, and he says that the sun is going to turn black. It's going to turn dark, is the translation, actually. And it's black as sackcloth in Revelation chapter 6. And we're seeing large holes form on the sun, large coronal holes that are forming on the sun as we speak, as if the black star is getting closer and closer. It is siphoning increased amounts of electromagnetism from our sun, and is eventually, when it gets right next to the sun, going to turn the sun dark. And that would be because of an extremely short sun, well, it's a star-to-star magnetic portal connection. This is the source of the black star's electromagnetism and its magnetic polarity. That magnetic polarity is what's causing the migration of the magnetic North Pole. And it's what's causing the sun to be all screwed up. Solar cycle 24, flatlined. Just read a report recently that we had a twin peak, which happens sometimes for solar cycle 24. And the first peak was in the end of 2011, and the second peak was here in 2015. And at the same time, suspicious observers are saying the sun is going to sleep at solar maximum. Doesn't make any sense, does it? They want to say that we're having a Maunder minimum, and you can just Google it. It's like it sounds. I don't believe that for a second, because we're looking at too many symptoms in the solar system telling us that there's a nemesis. For example, the number of meteor fireball reports. That number in 2008 was around 500. That number this year is going to be over 4,000. It's been a gradual increase going up. Global warming, temperature gradually going up. The liquefying, Jupiter's core is liquefying. Just Google it. Jupiter's core is liquefying. The heliosphere, which is much like our magnetosphere, the heliosphere extends around our solar system, and it has shrunk 25% in the last 10 years. Scientists are scratching their head. So, that's just a little bit of the information that says there's a nemesis, and I could go on for this entire hour. We don't have time for that. There's something that is going on in our solar system. There's something that's going on geopolitically with this world of what's going on here. Just imagine that you're the House of Rothschild. You have quadrillions of dollars, more money than everybody else combined, and you know the black star is coming. What are you going to do? You're going to build underground arc cities. And that's what they have. That's what, just Google the Denver airport. The underground arc city connected to the Denver airport, and there are many underground bunker positions connected to this underground network. This is where the elite, the corrupt politicians, the media moguls, their mouthpieces, this is where they're going to go with their military contingent. You see all these wargaming exercises that are going on? These, in my view, are sleeper exercises. These are sleepers. They're walking around with the elite, with the guys that are going to the underground arc cities, but they don't know a thing about that. They're being conditioned, trained for deployment into harm's way to deal with us. Once we know what's going on, once the crap hits the fan, Mad Max kicks off, then the elite need something to do with our military, with our National Guard, with the lettered agency operatives that are not going to the underground arc cities. Therefore, this conditioning program has been going on since the 1930s. That's when the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations, the true government, the head of the government in the United States, that's when they moved operations to Denver. And recently, the CIA moved their central headquarters to Denver because they know what's going on too. Langley is the B team. The A squad, the ones that are going to the underground arc cities, they're in Denver. And that is the place where the Benghazi CIA black operation was launched, from Denver. That's the reason that that Hillary regurgitated the cover story about the video supposedly causing the attack. And that's why the cover-up is ongoing and why there's a call to get Trey Gowdy out of the way. See, I'm getting some of the geopolitical information in here with the Black Star Up There report, because things are strange. Things are really strange. What's going on all around us right now? Problem is, the sheeple are being desensitized. And they have been for quite some time. The Planet X movement, it's desensitizing operation from the lettered agencies. But now there are so many groups coming from various factions, from the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergs, you name it. They have their operatives out there working, and disinformation programs, counterintelligence operations run 24/7, 365. They're running all the time. That's why when you try to go get information on Planet X, Project Black Star, you try to go get 9/11 information, you try to go get information on the truth about anything, there's 100 different interpretations of the evidence. That's what these guys do all day long. Very difficult for you to get the truth about what's going on here. And as long as they can smokescreen their operations and hide the truth from you, then they keep you from looking up and seeing the inbound black star. So that's what this 1 hour at Revolution Radio on each Thursday is about, trying to help people to wake up to what's coming from space. And once you can see the patterns, like I can, you're going to know that something's up, and then you're going to be handed a key, a master key that's going to unlock doors. It's going to help you understand why global warming is happening, why the northern ice sheets have been depleting, why the polar drip has been reduced in the northern hemisphere, and why ocean conveyor disruption is a reality. Ocean conveyor disruption. The oceans that carry the warm water from the equator north, they're just not working. And if you look at the ocean, the temperatures, you're going to see that 2015 is the hottest year on record because of the ocean waters, and it surpassed 2014. Those of you that think we're going into a mini ice age, well, you're going to be wrong. Chances are you live in the northern part of the northern hemisphere, because this is where the polar vortex phenomenon is taking place. The reason is because our Earth is trying to find equilibrium all the time. It's trying to find equilibrium. It's trying to find a way to get that warm water north and that cold air south, which the ocean has been doing, which it does. That's the way our Earth operates. But when the black star came close enough and made magnetic portal connection to our planet around 2004, then we got the northern ice sheet depletion, because there's more magnetite in the northern hemisphere than in the southern hemisphere. So the northern ice sheets, not the southern, have been the ones, the metals, and even the salts in the Earth are receiving black star redirected solar electromagnetism. That's the underlying cause of global warming. That's the cause of the northern ice sheets depleting without the southern ice sheets doing the same thing. That causes reduced polar drip. That causes the oceans to slow down and gives you record hot water at the equator, which is exactly what we have today. So you are still, if you live in the north, you're going to have a terrible winter, because the area above the jet stream is fluctuating. It's getting bigger and bigger and smaller and smaller and bigger and bigger and smaller and smaller. And these, if you look down on the North Pole, you're going to see that rather than a nice, smooth jet stream, you have a jet stream that is going extremely far south, dipping, and extremely far back north, and then extremely far down south. And at the bottom of what looks like the petals of a flower, if you're looking down, down at the bottom, that low pressure area that forms in that jet breaks off. That's the polar vortex phenomenon. And that's what is affecting, it's going to affect, started in 2012, by the way, and it's going to be more intense this year than ever. So if you live along the Canadian, United States border, extremely cold. If you live down here in Florida where I'm at right now, it's going to be mild because we're surrounded by the ocean waters that are higher than, you know, it's hottest water in recorded history since we've been recording, making records of ocean temperatures. Just Google it. 2015, hottest year on record. And then you're going to be looking at ocean waters. You'll look at the charts, and it's going to show red, red, red throughout the world now with concentration on Earth equator. Okay, so again, there's many, many reasons, looking geopolitically, looking at the Earth as a test, as a witness in the case, saying that there's a culprit in the inner solar system, inside of Jupiter orbit. Very, very close. This invisible collapsed binary twin to our sun, like I said earlier, can very well be only 3 kilometers in diameter, 5 kilometers in diameter. If it was 10 kilometers in diameter in a neutron star, it would be twice the mass of our sun. If it was a black dwarf type star, which our solar system is too young to support, by the way, but it can be created by our binary twin collapsing. That's what I believe has happened. But if it's only 50% larger than Earth, it would still be half the mass of our sun. So you have a range, you have a spectrum of stars that we would not be able to see using current technology that would have dynamic magnetic polarity, which is throwing off Earth magnetics, throwing off the magnetics of our solar system. And the sun, supposedly at solar maximum, without sunspots. That doesn't make any sense at all, does it, to scientists? So, before we go to the break, I think I have time. I want to share with you the smoking gun, most important thing in my research in the last 5 years, saying there's something here. It happened on March 2012, and I'll get back to that as soon as we return. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is Terrell from Terrell3.com. This is the first part of Liberation Nation, I think. I see there's the schedule looks kind of funny. I'm not sure. But from 4 to 5 every Thursday, Eastern Time, Black Star Thursday. And we'll be sharing information on the inbound binary twin to our sun and giving you opportunity to have a free newsletter every week. Show up each week. Bam. You get a newsletter every week for free. 52 per year. And remember, Revolution Radio is listener-supported. They've raised $450 since the beginning of the month. That's why we got the notice to please try to get us some support. If you have resources, Revolution Radio, I hope that you'll support. I recommend the $100 seed pack if you have the resources to do that. Really help out the radio station, and you get the you're on your way to becoming self-sufficient. You'll have something that you can use, part of your survival strategy. That is one service I provide to my newsletter subscribers. You send me the questions, anything survival-related to neutralize threats from the Black Star. That's what I'm here for. The typical survivalist, they're not going to be able to help you. They can help you with water purification, getting your food together, guns, ammo, things like that. But what are you going to do when Earth magnetosphere collapses? What are you going to do when the ocean crawls up on the land and you need to be above 1,000 feet in sea level? Where's a safe zone? How do you get hooked up with someone in the safe zone? In a survival group, how do you do that? That's the kind of the services that I provide, $25 per year, terrellow3.com. That's how I can begin to help you more rather than just over the radio. You can subscribe to my newsletters at terrellow3.com, T-E-R-R-A-L-0-3.com. Now, wait a second here. I need to get to those supporting the research. My heroes for the week, Project Heroes, Steve and Signe, are the two new subscribers to Terrell's 2014 newsletter. Appreciate that very, very much. Craig and Ron renewed their subscriptions, and Rune made a nice donation to help the to help the research. Thanks. Thank you guys very, very much for that. And this is for the last five years, these are the supporters for week 41. And every single one of them are men. I just want to point out the patterns as we're coming along. There are some weeks that are supported only by women. And so that's what I do, is look for patterns and things. And it's just kind of interesting, something to do. That makes sense, that allows things, other things to make sense. Okay, there were questions that I was missing. It helps if you guys type your questions in caps. Then I can real quickly go up the line here and see, but I don't see anything in caps. So then I have to read each thing. Okay, yeah, the Birkeland Currents question. Could the Black Star be related to Birkeland Currents? And the answer to that's going to be no. They affect these currents that are between the magnetosphere and upper atmosphere. They affect them because generally, usually, you just have one electromagnetic source, and that's the sun, with a singular magnetic portal connection that is connecting and disconnecting on 8-minute cycles. That's what powers the magnetosphere. Even though that's not what your science books say, they're pretending that Earth has a self-generating core. It does not. It is connected to the sun. And the Earth patterns, the Earth magnetosphere is shrinking 10 times quicker than previously thought by scientists. They just discovered this. The reason is because the heliosphere is shrinking because of reduced solar output, even during solar maximum. At the end of 2011, the sun flatlined. It was supposed to, they were looking for a big cycle, a big peak, solar cycle 24, like 23. 22 was even bigger. They were looking for something bigger than 23. Didn't happen. The sun was reduced to about one-third normal solar output. And this should be giant news, gigantic news. And before I get to those questions, the point I was making when we got into the break is that on March 12th and 13th, 2012, Earth magnetosphere, the magnetic bubble protecting our planet, has a bow shock facing the sun, magneto tail, blows around like a lady's hair. Those two components switched positions. The bow shock was on the nighttime side of our planet for 28 hours. And the constellation that it pointed to out of 88 constellations was the constellation that contained my black star. At the same time, Mars was directly behind Earth. So you got a line from the sun through the Earth, through Mars, and then the black star in the Virgo constellation. 2012, March the 20th. On the back side of Mars, the back side of the red planet, something happened that scientists thought was impossible. Because what creates dust storms on Mars has to be waves coming off the sun, right? Wrong. If that's true, the waves come off the sun, they're released and go straight, they go out. How are you going to create a dust storm on the dark side of Mars? The answer, the same force, which was the force that caused this phenomenon, was the creation of electromagnetic clouds. Electromagnetic clouds were formed between the converging magnetic portal connections of the Sun-Earth magnetic portal connection, the Sun-Black Star magnetic portal connection, and the Black Star-Earth magnetic portal connection. They make a triangle at outside orbit position, but whenever the Earth passes between the two stars, it drags these two connections through. That's why we have solar flares from their near proximity. You get electric, you get sprite, gigantic lightning bolt formation. And these magnetic portal connections can actually be sucked together. Many portals are created between them because this coating, this outer wall of the magnetic portal connection extends around those lightning bolts. And then it sucks the two connections together. Then you get redirected solar electromagnetism being rediverted and going to where, well, it's just not supposed to go. And as these things are coming together and that lightning it causes these cloud formations and that just imagine pulling your arms together. They're straight out. Now you pull them together. The air that's in between wants to be pushed out of the way. That's what happened. The electromagnetic clouds being pushed between these converging magnetic portal connections, pushed from the black star position where those portal connections were converging, and pushed the cloud right through Mars, right through Earth, creating the dust storm. Just Google it. Martian dust storm mystifies scientists because it was on the dark side is the reason why. And then you want to Google magnetopause reversal, which there's a video, 15-minute video on that on my website. They happened at the same time. Saying that the black stars was out there in Virgo at the time, black stars moved farther left in the orbit diagram now after 3 years. It's now in the Virgo, it's now in the Libra constellation relative to the Sun. It changes with the Earth because 6 months were on near side of the black star relative to the Sun, and 6 months were on the back side of the Sun relative to the black star. So when we're passing between them, if we could see the black star, it would appear to be moving to our right because we're moving left. When we get the outside orbit position, that 90-degree angle, the black star stops. When we start passing behind the Sun, which we are now, we're behind the Sun relative to the black star, then it appears to be moving left because we're moving right. Relative to the Sun, it's just gradually moving left in the orbit diagram. From our perspective, and the closer it gets, the more it's moving left and right. That's another thing to realize. Okay, looking in the chat room, Vape, longtime friend, friends with Jay Lady, and he was a administrator in Terrell's research group. He's asking some really good questions. He's concerned about CERN. Concerned about CERN. You might have been listening to BP Earthwatch. He's the CERN Meister. He's the one selling BS, in my opinion, as if anything that's happening on this little Earth, all of the force put together, all the collective forces of all of our military weapons and all of the power of our magnetosphere and all everything could not move the black star 1 millimeter. Impossible. In order to use leverage, I mean, you need a pry bar, right? That's what they're trying to use CERN for, to do something big. But there's no amount of force you can push on one end that's going to give them anything that's going to redirect black star. What they are doing is they are turning CERN on at key times. Whenever, you know, in March when they're turning it on, it's because the magnetosphere is starting to fluctuate. We're getting ready for a magnetopause reversal. And whenever something does happen, they can say, ah, look, CERN. That's what they're using CERN for, to smokescreen black star influence on our planet. And then you're thinking, man, the elite are doing something. What are they doing? No, the black star is doing it. They know when at the right time. But if you notice, when they turn CERN on, they blow a fuse, they blow a magnet, they break something. And they just are in their infancy of trying to understand even what they're trying to do over there with CERN. My opinion. We have a long, long ways to go. As long as you see human beings using penis-shaped projectiles, oxygen, hydrogen, fuels, you know that you're like a caveman. These people are cavemen living in the world today. Our medicine, our astrophysics, our understanding of the universe is just one layer above the cavemen. The people that picked up Elijah in their chariot of fire, they've been here for millions of years. And they have exponential more force, way more, billions of times more force, more ability to harness energy from the sun, to use wormholes for transportation and things like that. And they cannot redirect the directionality of the black star. Impossible. You're dealing with an object that if you had a teaspoon of it, then it would be the weight of 2 pyramids, great pyramids of Egypt. Right? If you had a teaspoon of it or a tablespoon of it, this is something that is very special. And it has gigantic magnetic polarity strength. And perhaps it's possible that they can utilize that energy in some type of a way, the way that we used planets to slingshot our spaceships. And we use Mars to go further out. We use the gravity well. Possible that they can use it magnetically and maybe interdimensionally. Possible. But as far as redirecting it, changing the effect that it's going to have on the Earth, nothing in existence can do that other than the hand of God, in my opinion. Because what we're dealing with is gigantic. Even though it's in a small place, this is God's reset button. It came in the days of Noah, came in the days of Moses. It's coming now for the prophet of Acts 3, started verse 22, and it's coming again at the end of the age. These are 4 resets. things are about to change for us. Okay, let's see. Oh, they're talking about, is the black star a black hole? No, the black star is not a black hole. The black star behaves more like a black hole than it does a main sequence star or an asteroid or anything else. So it's, the difference is that the black hole, the bottom of that deep, deep, deep gravity well, is a singularity. The bottom of this gravity well, the black star gravity well, extremely deep, extremely narrow. It has an event horizon like a black hole, but there's a small, small object that's down there. Like I said, 3 kilometers, 4 kilometers, 5 kilometers in diameter. Something that's really, really small, but extremely, extremely heavy with gigantic magnetic polarity. Let me see if there's another question here. I hate to come here and share for an hour and not address what you guys are typing. But next time, please, because I know I'm missing somebody looking up at the chat. And if you just type them in caps, it's real easy. Makes it real easy. And, okay, I think that we've got everything there. Okay, so I shared with you, I wanted to share with you the most important smoking gun evidence, and that's the magnetopause reversal. See, now NASA knows how to scrub the data from the servers and to give us false feeds. In my view, they're using artificial intelligence, and they're letting, you know, what we're supposed to see, what we should see, using previous historical evidence, previous things that have happened, precedents, and that's what they're they're spoon feeding us the information. USGS is caught all the time not reporting earthquakes, particularly 3 that were happening in the area where I'm looking for my linchpin event, and that is between the California quake swarm area that still has shallow quakes, maximum depth. We had 3 this week that were in the 25, 26 kilometer range. 2 years ago, the deepest quakes were in the 11 kilometer range. Now, we still see the deeper, deeper quakes in the Alaska quake swarm area and a dissipating Kamchatka area. This area, Kamchatka, off the coast of Russia, it grows, gets really, really big, and then it goes small again. It grows, gets really, really big, and gets small again. Alaska is the one where the pressure has been intense all this time for the last couple of years. We're looking for movement. Cascadia, the seismic zone there, there's going to be a break there. It's going to be a 5.8, something like that. And then big earthquakes are going to follow. You're going to watch the depths of the California quake swarm area. When they exceed 100 kilometers, 200 kilometers, 300 kilometers, then you're going to see that percolator effect of that deep, deep magma. Highly compressed, extremely heavy. But after the earthquake events, the fissures that are created, you get the upwelling, and then the magma continues to enlarge. A teaspoon of that turns into a cupful, turns into a gallon, turns into a giant tanker truck by the time it gets to the top. And all of that pressure underneath Yellowstone is what's going to cause it to blow. Warning, Will Robinson. Go to my YouTube channel. I've made Yellowstone warning videos and West Coast, California warning videos. It doesn't look like that we're going to see the deep, deep quakes. That's what you're looking for. In the California quake swarm area, they are deep at every quake swarm area around the Pacific Ocean Ring of Fire right now, except for California quake swarm area. That's where the movement from the south, this is subterranean magma movement, deep movement. It's as if starting over with Nepal quake from April 25th, then the Japan quake, 677 kilometers deep, that was responsible for the upwelling and all the new eruptions that we had there, right? And it's moving around through Australia, down the south. Chile's part of it, moving north into Mexico. Those quakes way deeper than they were 2 years ago. And it's coming around the north side too. And these two hands are going to come together at California, and that's what's going to cause Yellowstone to pop later in the timeline, in my view. Then, pardon me. Let me get that newsletter link again and post it for you guys. Let me hear just a second here. Apologize for that scratchy voice thingy I got going on. But it's going to be all right. Okay, I'm looking at the, it's time to get back to the newsletter here. And just to give you the weekly values of what we had, did that earlier, we had no 6-magnitude earthquakes this week. And part of the reason is because of the recent 8.3. And we had 12, that's the highest number in the last 5 years, 12 6-magnitude earthquakes in a single week. And that was accompanied by an 8-magnitude quake. Of course, that was Chile. And a 7-magnitude earthquake, too. So it's a big, giant blip. Big old, like a heartbeat blip in my seismic data. And it looks like that it's caused by the moon when it came into alignment. So before I go any further, there's a lot of maps in here showing you pictures of the orbit diagram, where all the planets are in the solar system. And I even draw lines here for the May 30th Japan quake, that record deep one. The moon, Earth, and the feet of Virgo are in alignment. And then the same thing with the September 16th quake. Same configuration during the uptick period. There's also a second birth map here. It shows how the black star retrograded backwards up through Virgo into the head and then came back down again. The dates are here for where the black star is. And on the 16th, when we had that alignment, then there's a screenshot here showing where the moon was in Virgo, in the Virgo constellation, on 9/16. Then we get into the next earthquake that's going to happen. There's two dates that you want to write down, two dates that include the moon as an alignment. The first one is October the 14th, 2015. It's going to happen at the end of the day. Not a first thing in the morning thing. Hey, at the end of the day. Could go a little bit later because the black star is moving left in the orbit diagram. It's moving more rapidly because we're moving right. It's possible that it could come on the 15th, but it's going to be right in that neighborhood there. It's a pretty narrow event window for an earthquake prediction. Usually you get a three-day window each way, but I'm pretty darn sure about that. Then the next one, when the moon is going to come to alignment the next time with the sun and the black star, is going to be on just right around November 11th, 2015. Coming up, watch those two dates, October 14th, November the 11th. And that looks like, I mean, the second opportunity, November 11th, is a bigger opportunity than the one coming on October the 14th. That one in the middle of November could be something that is really big, really, really big. So we're going to keep an eye out and watch for that. Then looking in the newsletter, there's a good article here. It's information, actually, from John DiNardo. Some of you guys have heard of him. He's a Planet X researcher. And Sheldon Day, he's a contributor to the newsletter. He's been doing some traveling and hasn't been contributing that much lately, but he did send in this nice article. And it includes, it looks like, that both wanted to share John DiNardo's new email address. So I don't usually put personal email addresses or use last names or anything like that, but this is the way that it was sent to me. This is what they wanted to share, so there it is for you. And they're going to talk about Zechariah Sitchin. And he likes to give all-encompassing, you know, all the historical precedents and, you know, information in his little articles. Well, actually, this is kind of a long article. And I had a little criticism. I mentioned it. He's talking about by perigee, the ancient writer meant closest distance of Nibiru to Earth. It's just a misuse of the term. Perigee would be the moon nearest the Earth. Perihelion is when the Earth is nearest the Sun. We're dealing with a star. So its orbitals, if it has any, they have a perihelion and aphelion, likely elliptical orbits. And then now that this collapsed star, the black star, has a planetary relationship with our Sun, see, it's coming into orbit our Sun, not the Earth. The Earth is just sometimes in the wrong place at the wrong time. Remember, we have 365 different segments of space, 1.6 million miles long. That's how far Earth travels each day. That's the different places to be, like a big roulette wheel. And there's some places that Earth, if we're in that position, we can have a geological pole shift. And there's many places where that is impossible. That's why the Earth doesn't get tipped around every time the black star comes. It's a law of probability thing. But that's also the reason that Venus has a screwed up reverse retrograde rotation, because Venus is very near where the black star reaches perihelion, its nearest point to the sun. So there's things I would agree with or disagree with, but I just leave that up to you. There's none of my commentary under the story. I just put it up there so you can make up your own minds. I do not want to be guilty of, you know, picking and choosing and just putting some stuff. I want to share, and then you guys can read the stuff. Send me your comments. Send me your emails and ask questions. Then your name appears at the, under the story, submitted by Bonnie, submitted by Sheldon, submitted by you. And then you ask your questions, and then everybody, I answer them, do the research throughout the week, and then everybody has the opportunity to benefit from that. The next one is the update solar EMP happening in 2016. That came in from Lorna. And there's a link here where you click, and it takes you to watch a video and get a lot of information on, you know, the geopolitics of what's happening around the kill shot, if you will. Thank you guys very much for putting up with me for this hour. Support the research at terralo3.com. If you have the resources, please support Revolution Radio. You have the opportunity to change the narrative or to push the narrative of hosts that you agree with or disagree with by your support. Thank you very much, and I appreciate it. And thank you for your support of the research, and I will be here next week, 4 o'clock, right here on Black Star Thursday. You guys take care. Thank you.